Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began this week, Experiencing Jesus. And as we go back to the beginning of the book, that first chapter in Genesis, we see that God created heaven and earth, and He created man in His own image. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth and gave Adam full dominion and power and authority over all the rest of creation. But Adam, by sinning, lost his inheritance. He allowed Satan to take away his birthright, and thus he, who was made out of the dust of the earth, returned to the earth from whence he came. Now, the devil thought if he could kill Jesus, that he would accomplish the same thing that he accomplished when he conquered Adam in the Garden of God and forced God to pronounce the sentence of banishment and death on the human race. Jesus, the second man, Adam, took upon himself the seed of Abraham, and he deliberately submitted himself to the realm of the flesh. Think about that, beloved. Not only his suffering and death, but all those years, even before his public ministry began, the experiences that he was the son of a carpenter, living in a small village, carrying on the work of his supposed earthly father to meet the needs of the family. He was, if you will, the oldest son, the firstborn of the Virgin Mary, and then he had other brothers and sisters. There's not, the sisters aren't mentioned except to say that that was an occurrence. In fact, that's one of the reasons they had a hard time accepting them, his ministry, because he was a very familiar figure. He lived in their midst, and they didn't have ears to hear. And so he submitted himself to the things that we experience, even though the culture may have been different. Mankind, his soul and spirit, his emotions, his mind, we're all of the same blood, the scriptures tell us. We all have similar experiences as a human being. And because he was willing to do that, he could meet every experience as a man that the human family would experience. And this time, as the second man, Adam, he would not fail. So instead of Jesus yielding to the temptations and attacks of the devil, Jesus defeated every assault. That was their master plan for redeeming the glory of his creation, children in his own image. They had that all planned before the beginning of the earth. Jesus was willing to do whatever was necessary to make sure that their creation of children in their own image and likeness would never be defeated ultimately. So Jesus had to give his permission to the demons of darkness to leave his presence. Jesus, the Son of Man, rebuffed each and every attack from the devil. And then, of course, I mean, look how discouraged the disciples were, even though Jesus had been warning them, telling them in advance, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer and die, I'm going to be crucified. They somehow didn't grasp the simplicity and straightforwardness of what he was telling them. They had, obviously we all tend to be like that, don't we? They had it all planned. They knew that he was the Messiah. They had seen the glorious works that they had done, and they were convinced that he was going to deliver them from the bondage of Rome, and he was going to deliver them from an ever greater bondage. No, the Romans didn't go away. They were used of the devil to initiate what the Jewish hierarchy had started. But God had a plan and purpose in all of it. He knew that instead of Jesus yielding to temptations, he defeated the enemy. And so on that dreadful day when the Son of Man lay suspended, if you will, on that terrible cross between heaven and earth, the devil looked like he had won a victory because the Son of Man was dead. Here was Jesus, the Son of Man, being led like a common criminal to the heights of Golgotha. He laid down, allowed them to pierce his hands and feet with nails, and face the most agonizing death the devil could devise, the mind of man could devise. The Romans were expertise at not only causing the greatest amount of suffering when there was a death penalty through crucifixion, but that it would be agonizing and long. And they did it where the public could see them, those crucified, as examples of what would happen if they chose to disobey their Roman authorities. You know, we see can you imagine what it must have been like to have been there? The nails placed in position, the hammers raised, the sound of those nails piercing the flesh of the Son of God going into that rough cross. I don't believe the devil was off somewhere on vacation when this was taking place. I can suppose that he was gloating and standing right there by the sides of those burly soldiers as they nailed the precious Lamb of God to that cruel cross. Perhaps someone might have been standing close by in the crowd. They might have thought they heard someone laughing, and turned to see who it was, but didn't see anyone. And perhaps that was the sound of the demons laughing. Obviously, the devil was beside himself with satisfaction, because here, for the second time, God had raised up his Son, right? The Son, the first time Adam was created by God, therefore being his Son by the act of creation. However, Jesus was not created. This time, the only begotten Son of God, ever present and existent with the Father, was lying there helpless and submitting to the torture that his assailants and all that the devil thought he could accomplish in that death sentence all over again. You know, if we could just, imagine the devil's thoughts, maybe they'd go something like this: I hate God, this Messiah, this Savior, this Lamb of God. I'm going to kill him. I've destroyed God's Son. He'll be put in the ground. He'll turn to dust, just like that first Adam did. I may not have been able to conquer God in heaven. Remember, he took a third of the angels to rebel against God. But I have certainly conquered his creation. He must have felt satisfied in the crowning glory of his creation, and now his only Son. I know it must hurt the heart of God to lose his Son. And, you know, we could go on and on. Can you imagine the joy in hell when they thought that they had won the victory? But what does 1 Corinthians say, the second chapter? And I'm going to start reading at verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, man's thinking, nor the princes of this world. He's speaking to the demonic hosts that came to naught, that come to naught. But we speak the mystery of God in the wisdom of God, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, God's plan of salvation, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It really cooked their goose. The devil was as misled, misguided, as big a dupe, if you will, as the first Adam ever was, listening listening to the devil. For when Jesus Christ hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, he was manifested before the whole universe, before the courts of heaven, the Lamb of God, that sinless Lamb which was predestinated to keep his appointment with the Supreme Court of heaven in behalf of the whole world. He stood the test of life. He stood the test of death. He overcame every work of the devil. He was completely pure, completely without sin, and now he was the ransom for the kidnapped human race. The devil had taken us into bondage, but he set us free. He tore open the jaws of hell. He put his feet on the neck of the devil. He took the devil's power and the devil's legions and the keys of death and hell. He took that before the court of heaven. He took the power that the enemy had and the captivity that he kept mankind in, and he went forth leading captivity free. He arose victorious. Praise God over all the work of Satan. Beloved, we need to rest on the Word. Ephesians 1 and 3 states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." Beloved, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you are in God's family. Everything that belongs to the Father, well, in a natural family, isn't that true? A healthy natural family belongs to the children. Of course, that's why they have children, to carry on the name, to carry on their family heritage, if you will. And because you've been born of God in the Spirit, because you are a child of God, you belong to the family of God. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and with that, out of the reach of the devil. Praise God. That's God. That was the purpose that Jesus paid, the price that he did. Well, my time is gone. We'll conclude on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. You can send me a letter at the post office box that your announcer will share with you. Or if you'd like to email, I will confirm receipt and pray. But if you'd like a personal answer, I'm not able to spend much time on emails. Just share your mailing address, never to be shared, and I will respond personally back to you. I love you. Pray for you every day, my radio family, my UCM partners. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.